at work. I'm wearing vintage shoes and roll my butt, and I get a limousine stuck out there a mile off.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the ESBC podcast, Horse Racing True Crimes. Josh and I are going to mix things up a little bit tonight, and he asked me to kind of take the lead, so bear with me as I do something that he makes look very easy, but in fact is not. So Coach Mike here, starting off tonight. Every time we start a podcast, we always talk about it's very similar to a business meeting. And a business meeting has usually two things you want to start off with. That is a purpose and an outcome. And the purpose of our podcast, honestly, is to not only talk about why we believe in the capitalist system, but also to educate and to teach people things about, for example, the behind the scenes issues regarding things like true crime. In horse racing, it's replete with true crime. We've been over this the last few weeks, everything from the Bob Baffert, I really call it a debacle. It's a shame. And you watch all the things that are going on with Jorge Navarro and Jason Service and all the killing of people like Barry and Honey Sherman, who were in their own right very wealthy veterinarians, who were killed because somehow through the Stronach family and through connections with apparently the Clintons, they're dead. And so our purpose is to educate you, to let you understand that if you've ever seen the movie, The Wizard of Oz, there's a part of the movie where they pull back that curtain and the guy over there with all the levers making all the noise, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. Josh and I are here to have you pay real close attention to everybody behind that curtain, because that's where the problems come. That's where the quote unquote systemic racism, which is really systemic corruption, comes from. Now, what would be a good outcome for our business meeting? Well, the purpose is to make us money, all of us, to generate money, okay? Because without money, we can't really live life. So one of the outcomes of these particular business meetings is to create a dialogue and create an interest where you're helping us grow these podcasts because it's interesting, it's entertaining, it's informative, and frankly, it's useful. You can take the stuff that we're talking about tonight and say, are you guys telling me if I follow your plan that you're going to make money on horse sports betting, let's say? Yes, 500% ROI and better. Why? Because we do a lot of the work that takes the due diligence to get to the results. And that's the key we're going to talk about tonight is results. Maybe many of you know years ago, you used to have to win a trophy. You were in a sporting event, you had to win a trophy. Today, somehow, everybody gets a trophy because they get a trophy. Why? Because they participated? Name me one sport where you get a trophy for participating. I can't. I always talk about golf because I tell to Josh and you listeners and viewers, golf taught me a lot of life lessons. One, you have to be honest. Can't lie. If you hit the golf ball off the tee and you hit it out of bounds, this is a penalty stroke. You're hitting the third shot. You play baseball. You play hockey. You play soccer. You run track. Play basketball. You play football in the NFL. Do you all get a trophy? No. So why are we making our society get trophies because people participate? This is one of the fallacies of composition. And Josh, I'm going to turn this over to you in a minute. But just let you guys know, the reason we're doing this is because A, we're passionate people. And B, as we get older, for some reason, this is actually fun sharing with viewers and listeners what we've learned over the years and what we apply on a regular basis. Now, Josh is a very wise, very intelligent young man, a couple master's degrees, English literature background, probably one of the smartest guys I know. And we have a saying around here, and that says, if you're the smartest, strongest guy in the room, you could be in the wrong room. You probably are. So tonight, I'm happy to turn this back over to Josh. Thank you for letting me start off. I hope I didn't blow it too bad. Josh,
take it away. It's perfect. I lost my voice. So Mike Persinese, again, man, he is reliable. And we've done this for a while. And what we're doing is we're giving you information you do not get. Fox News, OAN, CNN. Richard Maddow, none of these people gives you this information. Yeah. And you need this information. COVID-19 has exploited that. right?
Yes.
And also the money we'll talk about tonight, about the amount of money involved, all right? We'll talk about a guy by the name of Suelta. And he made over $17 million as a trainer, and he doesn't train horses. How does that happen? Right. How does that happen? So horse racing, true crime. So when we're talking about a murder 50 years ago, detailing and telling all the characters in place, each podcast builds on the other podcast. We're telling a story. And now we know that the fox is in charge of the hen house. Mm-hmm. And we know that horse racing boards have been a complete failure. Right, and both the right and the left have both failed in their responsibilities. Right, we'll start off the bat. Underlying philosophy of capitalism. Bernie Sanders had an interview with Phil Donahue, 1982. Huh. I encourage everybody to look at it online. And what he said was that, you know. I love Bernie Sanders. Don't get me wrong. Bernie from Brooklyn, he's done a lot with less. And the man doesn't give up, right? However, he's trying to say now he's a democratic socialist, but he sympathizes with Fidel Castro, which as you can see left the public hungry, but had $1.5 billion life insurance policy, money saved up that he gave to his family when he died. Communism, socialism has never worked. Mm-hmm. And we've never been a pure democracy. We've always been 60% capitalism of democracy. And 40% socialists. And you get into what we talked about, selective prosecution. And these guys enjoyed selective prosecution, except they were not aware of your surroundings. Basic. We talk about the basic laws of life that you can't violate, or you will eventually pay a price, and then pay a very, very heavy price.
Yeah.
Then when you look at the money involved and how stupid these guys are, whatever, everybody listening to the podcast, if you're working for a company, go on money, ask your boss for the raise, and tell them, hey, the money's there. The money, this is the richest country in the whole wide world. Right. And the reason why deficits don't matter is because we have the securest banking system in the world. And people deposit their money here. All right. So there's a ton of money. And this is a true crime podcast. So what we do is we look at mistakes that we see in the true crime genre. And we correct them here. We give you all the episode notes. We're working on them now. And we have articles based on the transcripts. And unfortunately, well, I did go to the Poynter Institute of Media Studies. It's taught by Dan Rather and John Chancellor. So I've been forced to come up with my journalism chops because there's no journalism out there. Nobody's giving or attempting to give both sides of the story. We're all biased. But the guy C-SPAN was great. He was a conservative guy. But you never knew it because he attempted to give both sides of the story. And that's what we do here. We give you in depth. Each podcast builds on the other. And we teach you life lessons. We give you mental health first aid kit. We're in a mental health crisis. We give you financial lessons, first aid kit. But we give you practical information so you can pay your rent. We got two winners in the Triple Crown races, then the Belmont State, Mike Pertinese told you about Runbar. So the three winners in every Triple Crown race, 500%, and we're getting ready for football season.
Yeah.
NBA Finals, I'm 6-2, which is close to 80%, 52.5% break even. So if you follow my Twitter, you're making a ton of money on the NBA Finals. We give you practical information you can take today and make money now that 42 states have now legalized sports betting. And something to note, right? Every single civilized society. Over the last 3,000 years has had some form of legalized gambling. Now the United States is legalized gambling, but we're 60% capitalist, 40% socialist. China's 100% corrupt dictatorship. They'll fight within each other, masquerading as communists. But they have Macau and they have legalized gambling. And stock market, it's the same thing. Probability theory, right? It only goes up to 80%. So it's a 20% luck factor that people don't look at, right? So that's why I feel this is the greatest podcast of all time, because we take common sense. Common sense is information you do not need a specialized degree to process. And since Mike Persinisi and I have been on this earth successful, got successful businesses, got successful relationships. So we've been on earth, he's 69, I'm 50. That's 119 years. He's been married 40 years, I've been married 18. We got 68 years of marriage, successful business. But what's important is we're sharing the information with you, because what Bernie Sanders said to Phil Donahue was that the reason capitalism doesn't work is people cannot collaborate. And that's myth. People collaborate all the time. There's trillions of dollars in business relationships, joint ventures. People collaborate all the time. We're social creatures. So communism, socialism doesn't work. That's why, what's going on in Cuba? What's going on in Cuba is that communism doesn't work. And the generals and the people at the top are skimming money. And all the leadership, the president of Cuba isn't in Cuba, he's in Spain. He got the Pfizer vaccine. The public got a fake vaccine. They say it's 99% effective. Nothing more than a placebo. Because communists don't know the price of things, right? That's a big problem. They don't know the price of things. And the cream always rises to the top. So people that know the black market, generals, right? Who know how to rally the troops to do international drug trades with Maduro and Putin in Venezuela. How to sell it. Cuba solved lung cancer, right? And we talk about racing boards, how to fail the racing boards. Cuba solved lung cancer. They cure 90% of the lung cancer. So what happens? The generals sell that information for themselves. Cuba gave the information, the scientists did, the government didn't. It was very illegal what they did. Scientists in Cuba gave the information to Rutgers University scientists here, and they have the vaccine for lung cancer. Now, the Cuban vaccine is 90%. The one here is 50%. Watered down by people who paid off the FDA. Because if you cure 90% of cancers, it's up to $20 billion the pharmaceutical industry loses. So when the naive Cuban scientist was doing a lecture at Rutgers, the president of Rutgers was horrified, and he got called the federal marshals and the FBI to protect the Cuban scientists because they thought they would be victims of a corporate hit. So you're saying what? Corporations kill people like the mafia? Yeah, and get away with it because they have a lot of money. Right? Selective prosecution. When there's $50 billion involved, you will get killed. And you say, well, that's against the law. Doesn't matter. Selective prosecution. Justice and the law are distant cousins. And that's the information you don't get anywhere else. And to be honest, the information I give on the sports betting podcast in here, you're getting an MBA for more, but better, more valuable. People pay $100,000 a year to go to Warren. You're getting a better education here, listening to the podcast that have two MBAs, clients worth $50 million and above, right? And we're very fortunate, lucky, and good. And the difference is we share the information. We make liars out of communists, or a guy like Bernie Sanders who says, capitalists can't collaborate. He's collaborating.
Yeah.
He's making deals with Republicans in the Senate on infrastructure. So he himself is disproving his own theory by collaborating with Republicans in the Senate.
We should talk about this for a moment, Josh, in terms of collaborating. It doesn't mean I agree with you on every point.
Or he doesn't like you, right? For business.
Or I don't like you. Or I don't even think I can necessarily work with you until we get to the table and we start talking about the facts, the data, the numbers, the dollars. And you start looking at where all of them fit in this little jigsaw puzzle.
Right.
There's someone saying, well, you're a Republican, you're an idiot. I can't really collaborate with you. Why? Because I'm a Republican? Is that what you're saying? So you're now judging the way I collaborate based on a letter behind my name or my political affiliation? Well, yes, that's what happens. And so then the media says, yeah, Republicans, they hate people, they hate blacks, they hate brown, they hate yellow, they're all killers. We need to teach critical race theory in our schools so that we can hate more white people because they're the problem. What have you just done? You've killed collaboration. You've destroyed it. There's no way you're going to collaborate with somebody or negotiate. You can't. You're not allowed to the table. Like we talked a couple, 3 weeks ago. You can't even disagree with someone anymore. You can't disagree with someone in public. They'll call the police. They'll call somebody.
The biggest problem, too, on both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, they're not explaining things in detail. Okay?
Yes. Yes.
Critical race theory. What is critical race theory? What is supposed to be? It's like the civil rights movement. Started with Martin Luther King, right? And whatever movement it is, the civil rights movement, women's movement, any movement, it starts off good. And then you get opportunists who come in and hijack it mm-hmm. and mess the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. Started with Martin Luther King, and now we got Al Sharpton. All right. So critical race theory should be, and I got the book back here, Harvard's End, the History of the United States. Mm-hmm. And we're doing this on a podcast. We're giving information, common sense information, public records, right? That everybody should know, but for whatever reason, politicians are doing it right now, exploiting the critical race theory on both sides of the aisle. They're overgeneralizing and not getting to relevant statistics. So what critical race theory is explaining Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street wasn't taught in schools. It was a massacre in Tulsa in the 20s. It was a horrible event. It should be in all college and high school textbooks. However, the leap shouldn't be made that there were some angry people, disenfranchised people, some jerks in Tulsa in the 20s, right? You can't extrapolate that
right.
to say white people are evil. That's the problem. As a teacher, you can't see that, right? You're supposed to say both sides of the story. You could say, hey, some people will extrapolate that it's through systemic racism. But it wasn't because a lot of white people got arrested in that mm-hmm. situation. Mm-hmm. It was an isolated incident, right? Mm-hmm. And there's still no excuse now. Now, both sides are wrong. White cops shouldn't get money from white supremacist groups to shoot black guys. That's wrong. But, right, Black Lives Matter, but also Black Lives Matter in a drug deal that you guys are killing each other. They matter too. And you equally need to come out strong saying, why are all these black people killing each other? Why? This is a big problem here. And Mike Pritz and Ethan and I, we got a lot of things going, but maybe it's something we can work on, especially here in Southern California. No reason why beauty supply companies and beauty stores and beauticians in black communities should be from other races. That's something easy to fix. You can go to barber school, you can go to beautician school. Mike Christine and Issa and I will charge you up front, we'll charge you a percentage afterwards for business consulting so you can open up your barber shop or your beauty shop or your beauty supply store. There's no reason. You got free education. You can go to these schools. You can go to SCORE. There's all kinds of resources for this to happen. Why isn't it happening? And it goes to the breakdown of society. And you say, well, what does that have to do with horse racing? These are the people going to the track. The regulation part is why horse racing boards have completely failed in both sides of the aisle. And then we can talk to this, right? Trump came out with, he put it in the COVID bill. It's not really Trump, some people, some horse racing act. Mm-hmm. And again, when you're a Republican, you have to know the underlying philosophy. Jared Kushner and Ivanka didn't know it. And it is that solutions come from the private sector. Right. That's why if we come to this podcast, the horse racing boards should not exist and should not use public money. The shortages, the Queen of England knows horses, the King of Dubai, all these people, come up with your own board and let the market decide. If you're Shane Rankins, the market will tell you that. People won't go to the track. Remember, like I said in the beginning, 3,000 years, every single civilized society has some form of wager. Really, it's investing. It's using probability theory. If you're thinking the right way, we just live in the richest country of the world where you can make a lot of mistakes. And still, because it's the richest country ever existed,
yeah.
And still come up ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that happened with when you're talking about a school teacher, and I go back to, I was born in 1952. So when we went to school, teachers taught, and they also taught things like discipline, Josh. You didn't speak up in Mrs. Bird's class. You were told to sit down and be quiet, or you're going to the principal's office.
Right.
Mr. Hubbard's math class, he was there to teach you math. If you couldn't sit still or keep your mouth shut, you went to the principal's office. And I'm unfortunately, I went there many times because I couldn't keep it. But I did have.
It's funny. It's funny. My 86-year-old dad came to this, and something dawned on me. I never had an argument with my dad, right? Because he told you something. If you disagree, you get hit with a frying pan. You get smacked across the head as a kid. So you didn't disagree, whatever you had. And, you know, it was the results. My mom was the result. Hey, you got to go out there 15, 16 years old and come up with a catering. Oh, you want a bike for high school? Well, I already bought it for you. I have 3 companies. Go sell something. Yeah. Yeah, I already did. I bonded, licensed, insurance. I got it all set up.
Yeah.
Go sell something. Go do something. And if you don't get the bike. I wasn't entitled to a bike. And I ended up buying a car instead of a bike. Yeah. Selling, right? And it goes back to these trainers, these people, and it's the mafia, Penn National, spiking the horses with clenbuterol.
Yeah.
Right? Which is a steroid used by the Russians in the Olympics and Mike McGuire and stuff. She gets 2 weeks. Maximum security spiked horse. They're putting a bunch of people in jail. Still got to run all the Triple Crown races and Breeders' Cup, so on and so forth. It's because these folks feel, it's been very important for you to know, right? Everybody listening, you're living in a similar town like Lake Forest that I live in, that has $90 million in revenue, zero, not a mask to the nurses, because they're stealing your money. All these people, we talked about Scott Boyce, like, all these people on these horse racing boards. Government's never solved anything. Ask Venezuela, ask Cuba, right? They're stealing your money. The horse racing boards are stealing millions of dollars that should be back for goods and services for it. Child is a big problem, right? So the kids factory used to be $60 a month. So it's now $600, and we outlined last week, a fraudulent lawsuit, ADA lawsuit, with what a city councilman, he should go to jail. But this is happening all over the country. It is because you are asleep. And the same thing is happening with the horse racing. Now, I'm going to break down Del Mar, and I'll get those races on Twitter. But when I'm making money on these races, I understand that the horse racing board is 100% corrupt. When I look at what the horses, the jockeys, the owners, and what's going on, and we're going to make money on it. We're not putting a moral judgment on it. This is business, and that's what goes down in life.
Let me add a caveat here, Josh. I hope our viewers and listeners just picked up on a little secret you shared with them. You factor in that corruption. You
exactly. Do research,
you look at the numbers and you say, okay, this is a Baffert horse. It's going to be spiked. Is it going to win going off at 12-1? Yes. I'm gonna bet my money on a 12-1 Baffert spiked horse. Guess what? Bingo, you go to the win window because you won. Did we factor in the corruption? Yes. Yes, we did. It happens. And
look at it, all right? Howard Charlie. 5 kids that went to Brown, Ivy League school. Doug O'Neill's kids. They're from San Diego. Home court advantage. So now I know that Doug O'Neill, when I look at these races, the big races that have, Doug O'Neill has a home court advantage in Del Mar. Those Del Mar people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Doug O'Neill hasn't been caught or he's doing things cleanly. These dirty idiots made $17 million. How much is Doug O'Neill worth? $100 million? He's the guy to go. He's the guy with the premium horses. He knows what he's doing. Right? This is practical stuff for you to make money, people. Right? And we're extrapolating it because we're smart and successful people. But the difference between us and 99% of people is that we're willing to share and we care about good journalists, which is both sides. Teachers used to say both sides of the story. One people think that the Civil War was about slavery. Other people think it's states' right. Once you study, once you do independent study, and come up with an answer.
That's right.
Do your research. You're not indoctrinating. You're an educator, not indoctrinating.
Josh, here's a perfect example. We used to teach our kids, listen, you have to think. Mom and dad want to teach you how to think. Now, are we going to teach you some of the what to think? Of course, by our biases, our prejudices, our faith, our worldview, of course. But at some point in time, you launch the birdie out of the nest. Why? So it can fly away, right? And the whole idea for our viewers and listeners is we're trying to give you information and data and facts that if you use it, you can launch your birdies out of the nest successfully. And it's just amazing to me, talking about business a minute ago, you know that I was talking to a guy the other day about starting his own business, and he has this wild, convoluted idea. I said, listen, you need a business card that you can print on your own. You need a computer, an email address, and you go get a business license for $35. You're in business.
Well, this is the other thing, too.
That's it.
Which people don't get. It doesn't matter. If you have your own business or work for someone or whatever, you're already in business. You are a corporation. You have a balance sheet. It has taxes in it. And you have your status. And you're a commodity when it comes to your Social Security as far as your credit score, what you're worth, what you can do. You're already a business. And you have what you call human capital and social capital. How many friends do you have? How many enemies do you have?
Yeah.
Real friends. In life, you get fake friends and true enemies. All right. You are already in business. Now, the difference is how much of that business are you codifying? Are you aware? Are you aware of your surroundings?
You're monetizing.
All right. It's your city council stealing all that money, all that CARES money, all the stuff, and flowing it into their buddy. And they're like the Cuban generals where you're not getting anything. You're struggling with childcare. It should be free because you paid it. This is the other thing people don't get. You are forced to pay tax. Poor people are forced to pay tax. And both Republicans and Democrats have agreed on a tax code where rich people, and I do tax communication all the time, rich people do not pay taxes. People who pay taxes are middle class poor people. So you paid for this. And some idiot on your city council or county board is funneling your money to their friends, and nobody's getting anything. Research from Michigan. It goes on. It's going on all over the country. And people, now with the pandemic, people are paying attention. But yeah. Now what they need to do is understand the difference between selective prosecution and justice and say, hey, go to the budget and say, hey, where's this money? It's like forced to doing outrageous things because people aren't paying attention. Only me and some other people are paying attention. And they, when I put something, it's crazy. I don't have an official role in Lake Forest, but the last 5 to 10 things I put out there, they immediately changed because I do my research and they're afraid because what I'm calling out is the tip of the iceberg. I don't know what's behind me. To have this fear to do about faces and change things, people making $100,000 shows you the level of corruption that's everywhere, right? The economists, right, so we talk about horse racing true crime, that now when we look at stories and murders from 50 years ago, we know that there's been no real regulation. This has been run by the mafia, been run by corporate guys that want to be in the mafia, that are extremely self-interested to the point where they don't care about anybody at all, not even family members, because they're drunk with an enormous amount of money and then you go power and all kinds of different things going on, right? Yeah. So I'm going to profile Marcus Suelta, and I want your opinion. He's in an indictment, and he made $17 million as a horse trainer. He's not a horse trainer. He made $17 million. Perfect example of this. You have money, doesn't mean you're smart. The reason he's in the indictment was that George Lamar called him on the phone, committing a major felony, wanting a PAD for a horse. Marco Cerrota said, no problem, we'll FedEx it. So he's part of the manufacturing of the drugs, putting them together, sophisticated. They're only the Stronages who are dead, right? This is horse racing true crime, can actually do. Following it to Pennsylvania, right? Penn National, Linda Rice, or whatever her name is, over there at Belmont, to British Rule, which is it. If I get caught with Sinbutrol, they put me in jail. Mm-hmm. She gets caught spiking horses with it. She gets a 2-week suspension, right?
Clap on the hand.
2-week vacation. Penn National, again, is run by the mafia, Barstool Sports, Steve Wynn, right? He got kicked out of, he was a fancier for the Brotherhood Party, got kicked out. You read about the casino he's doing in, Boston, where they're doing mafia activities again. Yeah. And it's known, right? Mafia is not legal in a sense because it's elected prosecutor in the enormous amount of money. And this is the richest country in the world. We got a $26 trillion with a T real estate. We have a $16 trillion stock market. Everybody in the world has to deposit their money in American banks because no bank, no other country other than, you know, your Denmark, your Canada, mm-hmm. Switzerland, they can't keep their hand at the cookie jar. They will steal the money. Communists, socialists, capitalists, doesn't matter. They're going to steal the money. Mexico, their banking system sucks, right? Because it's insecure. The one time they had a surplus, they stole the money. Mexico, Canada didn't. U.S. didn't, you know. Now, those countries, right, are predominantly white. That means African countries can't take their hands of education. Am I being racist? No. Those are facts. You know, in the episode, you know, we talk about what facts are. Something you can prove to be true in direct evidence, video, contemporaneous documentation, right? So this guy... And I made money doing this, right? Because when you go to a company, there's 4 people. There's your champion. There's one person that can be influenced. There's one person that wants to see if you're on top. They're breaking their heads to see what car you drove into the place, mm-hmm. whether you're in shape. And it has nothing to do with a deal where you can write value there. Oh, you're a good-looking guy, and you're in shape. That's how they make their decisions. And then there's one person who's dead set against. They could be racist. They hate Cubans. They're hard asses. They want their buddy to get the deal, right? And there's no excuses. You either sell to that person or you're homeless. So you have to measure people and find out what their triggers are. That's why 60% business is psychological. So Suelta is a Spaniard guy who thinks he knows everything. Those people are racist. Spanish are racist. Spain was the last country to give up slavery. He thinks he knows everything. He thinks he was above the law. This was sophisticated, right? So they get PhDs, they can't be traced. Right? So Suelta thought he was smarter than everybody, was getting all this product from the Strunages. And then before it got to the Strunage Pharmacy in Ocala, Florida, Marion County, Florida. Marion County, Florida has the highest rate of AIDS and poverty in the country. Not a place you want to go to, but that's where the Strunages and the Mafia, the Gambino family, Bad Boys Farms, John Gotti Jr., right? They have a farm in Ocala, Florida. So Benny Honey Sherman have a horse racing pharmacy. So they switched the labels for the PEDs. And this is what Sorolta did. He helped in distributors. He knows nothing about horses. Now, what is your opinion on that? So this guy's over arrogant, so what do? You're in a meeting telling him how smart he is, how this and that's going. You feed into his arrogance, right? And start talking about the King of Spain, because he's in America, right? And he's making all this money, $17 million, has this arrogance about him, but he's hanging out with George Navarro, of all people, right? Did we profile? Every podcast builds on each. So that's how you sell and you make money off Suelta. You feed into his ego, you feed into his arrogance. And he's the type of guy you only do business with once, right? Right. He thinks he knows everything. He's racist. He's Spaniard. He's da-da-da. So what's your opinion? He's in the indictment. Marco Suelta.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about one thing. When you know, and this comes from people doing their homework, Josh, doing your due diligence, you do a little research, you spend some time before you contact somebody. And I've lived this in this little trough, so I'll explain how it works for me. If I get a call from someone, a referral from someone about, let's say, the ADA business, ADA, American Disabilities Act, disabled, handicapped, whatever. Before I contact that person, I do a little research and I find out as much as I can about them. Are they an attorney? Are they a business owner? Are they from Southern California? Are they from back east? And I have a little bit of information before I call them. And when I call them, if I'm going to call a Marco Suelta, I'll say, hey, by the way, how's Real Madrid doing, huh?
Right, exactly.
I'm talking about soccer for the next 15 minutes, and we are instantly buds. Why? I didn't criticize him. I didn't condemn him. I don't care about his wife and 9 kids and 4 mistresses. I'm talking about Real Madrid soccer, and he's probably a diehard fan. If I talk about Mallorca, Spain, it's one of the most beautiful places on the planet. He's going to say, oh, Mallorca, you know, I have a place there, blah, blah, blah. What are we doing, Josh? We're getting them off their game for a moment to say something like, so Marcus, I'm so-and-so, blah, blah. Here's what I have to offer. How can I be of benefit or service to you? Oh, Miguel, thank you. You know, I think we can do business together. They'll say that. I say, okay, tell me, what kind of procedure do I have to follow? What are the steps? What do I have to do? The 1, 2, 3, the ABC. And they tell you. And the first time you do it, maybe you don't do it again. You'll learn very quickly. This is their system. This is how it works. Now, when you get that money from the first transaction, you shouldn't go wash your hands. It's probably filthy.
Well, this is the other thing, too. I've gotten deals by blowing out the competition. I went in and I started asking people, the receptionist, the janitor, they'll tell you everything you need to know about the executives.
Yeah.
And in one company, they're like, you're the only one who's done the research before talking to so-and-so. To find who's who, and the person that was completely against me, trying to shut me down, couldn't do it because the whole company was like, whoa, Josh's on the ball. And again, right? It's in life, there's 40% against you, there's 40% for you, And 20% just wants to see if you're up top. The fact that I was doing my research, talking to people at the company, finding out who's who, what they like, what the dislikes are. They go there every day, and some people are willing to talk, some people are experts.
Yeah.
And it was a blow. So, yeah, you got to give it to Josh because Josh knows what's going on. He's going to hit the round running. He's at the other guys just come in and they leave. They do the pitch and they leave. I don't do pitches anymore. I don't sell him.
Right.
You know, you either get it or you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how you make money off that guy. And that's the guy who made $17 million in the industry. Right. He was stupid enough to ask for a PV on the phone. There's no privacy. Everybody's listening to you. There's no such thing as text, email. Back to go to old school. You really need a carrier person. That's the only thing the government isn't monitoring. And we'll close with this, right? Mm-hmm. This horse racing act. And this statement is wrong on many different levels, right? So they have a, we know that we, and it's sad, but it's coming down to Mike Piccinini, myself, you listening. You have to preserve capitalism and you have to preserve democracy because that is what works. The other stuff hasn't worked. And I don't see it ever work. So when your board, county board, wants to appoint someone because somebody retired, no, have an election, do it online. Have an election to democracy. Because this is the other problem, right? We were talking about the Tea Party and mistakes the Tea Party made. They made a lot of mistakes. And Mike Richards said, what's the top one? But one mistake they made is, and Millie talked about it, and the generals talked about it, the military had an oath to the Constitution, which is a piece of paper. You have an oath to the Constitution, it was written, and we have a Supreme Court that decides, and we have legislators that makes laws. Mm-hmm. Every single city council, and that's it. I got city council meetings in Tampa, New Orleans, Austin, Texas, Boston, New York, every time I lived there, because my parents came from Cuba, and my dad was put in a concentration camp, and I really valued democracy. This is the only place where my family could have been as successful as it has been. My mom came to the United States with nothing. And left this earth with $11 million of assets. There's no other country in the world that would have allowed her to do that. So that's why I participate. And I've seen erosion in it because of the $1 trillion I just talked about. They sell out to developers because there's $26 trillion involved, right? It's about self-interest, right? Yeah. And racism is mitigated by just that some people are just a-holes. They're jerks. They're mean to their own family. So horse racing boards should be private. There's no taxpayer money that should go towards it at all.
You get
the indictment is proof of that. The deaths of so many horses through that. And then nonprofits are corrupt too. PETA didn't need a genius lawyer or whatever to understand that this Marcus Serelta, this arrogant jerk, not a veterinarian, calls himself a horse trader and makes $17 million. It's clear as day he's spiking horses. I wish I would have paid attention to horse racing more. Oh, that's a Serelta horse? Okay. I would have made a ton of money just researching the man. Okay?
Yeah.
He thinks he got away with it so long. He thinks he's smart. But they weren't aware of their surroundings. They didn't pick up a newspaper to save their lives. They're just thinking about what next cruise is going on. So Trump, the biggest mistake Trump made is not surrounding himself with enough good people, offloading a lot too much to Jared Kushner. Now, Jared is not turning on because he has no loyalty, right? They're not cool people like the people we grew up with. You can count your real friends on your hand, But I've been fortunate, looking good, that all my real friends are loyal. And I guess I'm loyal to them. You want a friend, be a friend.
It's true.
So, you know, he needed to put no buybacks because the extra money, the tax cuts, right? It was going to raise the deficit, and that's irrelevant. Is for you to reinvest in your company to create jobs. It's not to pocket to buybacks. Yeah. And who does buybacks? Nancy Pelosi. She admitted it. She had to admit it. She does buybacks. Unfortunately, Trump needed to do his own research. Mnuchin knew it and laid it out. Didn't pay attention to Mnuchin. The smartest guy in the Trump administration was Mnuchin.
I believe that.
And should have said, hey, no buybacks.
Yeah.
Because we have to be capitalists, not be Cuban generals and pocket the money. I won this election. I gave you a tax cut, but it's for you to execute capitalism.
Well, that's true. That's true. Right. I think he did that. I think, but the other thing I think Trump didn't do, he didn't keep people around him long enough to say, I don't agree with you, Donald. And you can't just say, then get out of my office. That's not collaboration. That's dictatorship. Right. That's why people think that Donald Trump was like Hitler. Now, Trump, I don't think, ever killed anybody's life. So let's get that on the table, okay? Hitler killed millions of people. He was a monster. He was a demon right from the pit of hell. To compare him to Trump is like, seriously, people? This is why you and I try to break things down and say, look, let's back up the bread truck a step or two. Let's talk about facts and data, okay? Regardless of what politicians do, I don't see Trump as a politician. He's a business guy, okay? He should have had some people in his corner.
He's a real estate business guy.
He's a real estate business guy. And that's a whole different universe. That's, like you said, Josh, what, $27 trillion industry. That's a lot of money.
More than software.
And that's a lot of interest in a lot of different businesses, okay? And a lot of people could benefit and do benefit from that. One thing you said, I want to back up on one thing about Marcos Zaralta. Okay, you're a smart guy, but you're too smart for your own britches, an old expression. You befriend a guy named Jorge Navarro. Jorge Navarro is a fancy talking New Yorker and he's a horse trainer. So you want to learn, quote unquote, from Jorge Navarro. What are you learning? You're learning the tricks of your own demise. You hitched your wagon to the wrong group, guy. He should have said, Jorge, so how you doing? Jorge would say, well, you know, I'm under indictment. I might be going to prison for life, but I'm doing okay. I got a lot of money. That should have been a red flag for Zaralta.
Well, he should have gotten out because what Zaralta did was distribute fake drugs to fake horses.
Fake PEDs, right. And to FedEx him across state lines, now you're talking about a lot of laws that come into play, Josh. You're going to go to jail for a lot of years. I don't care what country you're in. They're going to find you.
Well, he said he was a trainer. He wasn't a trainer. That's where PETA comes in. They do the research. Yeah. This guy doesn't know any training. He doesn't run horses. Yet he's making so much money as a trainer. Now he's owning barns in Florida with horses. And they're winning all these races. You don't have to be a genius to figure it out.
We've seen this video before, haven't we? Have we seen the show before? It looks like.
So Trump comes up with this law. He puts it in the CARES Act about policing horses because all these horses die. PETA should be doing it. But he's doing it because he wants to, whatever. The Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, right?
Okay.
So you have to abide by the Constitution. Just for the sake of not having chaos. You disagree with the Constitution, petition, state legislators, they're all paid off. You might get a chance to listen to somebody because they made so much money, they're packing in it, all these lobbyists and stuff. They listen to elections, they care to become a lobbyist. And it's about policing powers, right? Big mistake. And it's a big, it is not being conservative.
True.
Trying the government to solve a solution and get police powers. The other thing is, these horse racing boards are not elected. So it says in the Constitution that if you are going to, unless you're a cop, right, or in the military, if you're going to make a decision or tax dollars, you must be elected.
Elected.
This is where democracy comes in. So Louisiana, these are all conservative states. They're corrupt and they're violating the conservatism they espouse. Rhinos, right? Republicans say name early. So let's read a quote from it and get your reaction. Well, this is the Attorney General of Louisiana, which remember, Louisiana is home of Guam, who said, hey, it's $3 coming in. Two I'm putting in my pocket, one I'm giving to you. My opponent is going to take all three. So why vote for a crook you don't know when you can vote for a crook you know? And Eddie Edwards recently was a governorship from jail. Very, very corrupt state. I went to see Councilman in New Orleans and said, hey, boy, let me know what I can do for you. Complete mafia stuff, right? So he's the attorney general, the corrupt attorney general from the state of Louisiana. Well, I believe that horses should be treated humanely. All right. So he's admitting they failed. They've gotten horses killed. They let Bob Bassett, George Marr, all these people run in pre-Kentucky Derby races in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And he got a bunch of horses killed, totally corrupt system. Mm-hmm. Bettors were disenfranchised who weren't naive. I think everything's rigged, right? The economists did a study of 115 countries to find out which was most corrupt. They found that all of them are corrupt.
All of them.
All of them are corrupt, right? All right. So, horse racing should be held to the highest degree of integrity. Come on, what world is this? I know that much more bureaucracy and overreaching in a carnival feed them is not the way to achieve this goal. So he's admitting that he's violating his own principle and he's not being a Republican. He's supposed to be over there in Louisiana. We shall continue our legislature decade-long delegation of police powers or industry to the Louisiana State Racing Commission. Mm-hmm. Knowledgeable participants who have collected significant fees and taxes over statutes and regulations concerning the health and safety of equine athletes and their industry participants throughout Louisiana. The state of Louisiana joins Oklahoma Republican, West Virginia Republican, racing commissions, and the United States Trotting Association, Handover Shoe Farms, Oklahoma Quaker Horse Racing Association, come on, and Fair Meadows, Remington Park, Will Rogers Downs, as plaintiffs challenging the HISA. So Trump just do something good. But he has the power. He has the bully pulpit too. He can pull it off. Ain't enough people can write checks for the whole racing boards all over the country and find a private solution to the problem. Taxpayers should have nothing to do with this. And PETA, the whole board, everybody in PETA should resign and get some people who really care about animals to do something, right? And to get rid of the chaos. You got to stay true to your principles, not pay out. And the reason that these Republican attorney generals are being 100% corrupt is because of the money and the payouts are getting. Remember, this guy we talked about today, idiot on the phone talking about PEDs, right? Over the phone, which knows can be tapped. And maybe because the FBI had been paid off to this point, that the deal was still intact. All bets are off when Jared Kushner is trying to make friends with the Saudi government. You bring a Spike Corso there, you're toast. What's your reaction, Mike Christie's?
When you say the number 17 million to our viewers and listeners, how many people can say, I've never even seen that much money in my life?
Right.
I don't even know how much that money is. That is a number beyond almost my wildest imagination. Okay, now juxtapose that to a guy who is, well, let's pick on Zeralta for a minute, okay? He's a Spaniard, he's wealthy, he came from some sense of entitlement, some arrogance, some playboy, whatever. And he says, I don't really work. I work people. I work my deals. I work my magic. I work my charisma. Okay. And he says, I like horses. I like fast cars, women, and horses. Okay. He meets somehow Jorge Navarro. And he says, I got it made in the shade. I can do whatever I want to do. And he starts.
Well, he needs Navarro because Navarro actually trained horse.
Yeah, he trained horse.
He didn't.
He
knows how to distribution. He knows how to do deals with Spain, right? Because remember, you have to get drugs that are not FDA approved. So they're approved by Spain and Canada. And who do we know in Canada who makes?
Oh gosh,
horse farts.
Yeah, but okay. So back to that point about Spain. So Jorge Navarro is of Hispanic descent of some kind. He speaks Spanish fluently. So he finds out that Xarelto is from Spain. All of a sudden, you've got the Spanish language going on. Hey, you know, here's what we do. Here's how we work. I can help you become successful as a trainer. Great. Now, that means now Marco Xarelto doesn't have to work. Listen carefully. Doesn't have to work. Doesn't have to earn it. He says, I'm going to jump on the coattails of this guy, do what he says, follow his rules, and I'll make money.
Yeah, and this is the other cover denominator, right? And again, go back to common sense. They're smart and everybody else is stupid.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There is a condescension there that says, I know more than God and man about everything, okay? And if I don't, I'll find somebody to funnel that into me and I'll just make it my own. Well, here's a problem, Josh. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much you know. If you have not been around horses, then, and you don't know about horses, you're not going to learn about horses. You're going to learn by watching, and you may pick up a few things. You can go to the racetrack and bet on horses. You don't know anything about horses. You know about betting because you went to the window and bought a ticket.
And another thing, too, about crime. I remember in my mid to late 20s, people know who I am. So this guy from high school, he was doing funny business. And he was doing funny business with a cop, and he was dating that cop. And I told him, listen, you know, relationships go south.
Mm-hmm.
She will turn on you in a second once the relationship goes south. Goes back to don't commit two crimes. You're doing funny business, you're dating a cop, and you're doing funny business with a cop. Don't cheat her. Don't do two crimes at the same time, right? So don't go to international waters. And in the interview, he had been doing it in Dubai. You know? And he thought he was so smart that he was going to fool everybody. But we grew up with this saying, it's a cliche. You can fool most of the people most of the time, but you can't fool everybody all of the time. And when the FBI, who've been covering for you, we've been paid for years through mafia activity, same people Steve Wynn and everybody pays off, they will turn on you when they have to, right? And there was a lot of heat on the FBI. A lot of people got fired in the FBI over the whole Russia thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then you got thrown in the pandemic and that Jared Kushner was building a relationship with the Saudi Arabian government and those guys. They kind of sort of connected. They're both entitled rich people, never been anything, born on third base, think they hit a triple. And they were trying to do things that have already been happening for years. Israel has always had back channel relationship with their enemies. They can't say it in front because that's business. I have to check my emails when I send mass email because it's some person sees that the other person on the email, they'll try to kill each other. They'll be like, Josh, you know where he is? I'm going to go kill him. That's just life. That's just right? Life.
Right.
The FBI wasn't going to turn a blind eye forever. And there's a lot of evidence because they already had him. But there's too much money involved. They were probably getting paid. You said, oh, you think the FBI is getting paid? Yeah. Look at Wally Berger. You know, it happens all the time. Peter Strzok, you know, and Seth Rich getting killed. If you told me that the FBI killed Seth Rich, I would not doubt it. Did they? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just telling you the facts, public facts, as I see them, right? There's always 100 federal judges who go to jail every year. You're saying a federal judge, a guy with a robe on, oath to the Constitution, making a ton of money, going to jail and prosecute every single year. That's reality. Read the newspaper. Inform yourself.
Because, okay, let's get down to the very basic common denominator. they're human beings. And we as human beings are tempted every day with all the pleasures, all the goodies, all the trappings. Let's be honest, Josh, you and I have been down this road before. People have come to us, beware of people bearing gifts, right?
Right.
And you have to be discerning. And sometimes in my early years, I said yes to things I probably should have said no to. Took me a few years to figure that out. Cost me a few $1,000s, cost me some attorney's fees. Guess what? I figured it out. And so for our viewers and listeners, if you're involved with people and you don't know them, or you don't know people that know them, guess what? Stop. Okay.
Well, this is the thing too. I've been in situations where I've gotten out of it, not because I was completely innocent or whatever. That was irrelevant. It's because who I knew. Charlie Crist, who was Republican governor of Florida. Now it's a Democratic congressman.
No figure.
He told me, great lawyer, good lawyers know law. Great lawyers know the judge.
Right.
And he got at me a jam that was innocent, but it was because I knew Charlie Crist. And I went to college with one of the guys that worked for them. And they did things that, you know, really taught me about life. The justice and the law and what's right, whatever, it's all irrelevant. They're distant cousins. Justice and law are distant cousins.
At best.
At best. So we're going to use all this knowledge. And on Twitter, I'm going to post my picks for Del Mar this weekend. Final words, Mike Christianese. And then what we're going to do is we're going to do a bonus golf podcast after this.
Uh-huh.
All right. So final words, and I'll let you do Winston Churchill. Save my voice.
Okay. So I think if I were watching or listening to this podcast tonight, I would be sitting there probably taking a few notes and saying, my takeaway tonight is be very skeptical of people you're about to do business with. And I think that's a very fair, very accurate caveat.
Do your due diligence.
It doesn't mean you hate them. It doesn't mean you despise them. It doesn't mean you necessarily disagree with a lot of things or do. It just means there's a scripture that says, be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Okay, what does that mean? I'm not completely certain, but I think it means you have to have the wisdom. Okay, why is this serpent? Have you ever watched the wisdom of a serpent? It's serpentines, it's snakes. It gets to places you know how they got there. Gentle as a dove. What does a dove do? It flies and just lands lightly. I don't know what all that means, but I know this. You need to use your brains and not your brawn more often.
And do your research. I'm throwing this because it triggered this. A couple of times that happened too often. Where there's a dispute between owners. I get involved because we have to get forensic accountants. We got to do this and that. And I go to the guy. In 30 years in business, I've only seen two partnerships work. And I've seen like four or five murders. And one of them was the dominant, the other one was more submissive. But partnerships sort of work because the other guy's dad funded bankrupt the business. I go in there, okay, so you've done business with the guy. You gave this guy a couple $1 million, you gave him $5 million, $10 million. I'll be more than happy to help you. Yeah, this is what you got to pay as a down payment. And send me the background report you did when you did the deal. Oh, I didn't do a background. You mean you gave this guy $5 million and you didn't check his background report?
Yes.
You didn't check his criminal record, public records? Oh, that's another 10 grand.
That's right.
Charge people. Charge 10 grand for reason. You're saying, hey, that took you 20 minutes to do. It doesn't matter. The fact that I did it, you can process it. That's why this is such a great true crime horse reading podcast.
Wow.
For life lessons. Do your research because you'd be shocked. Just because somebody has a lot of money doesn't mean they're smart. Or do your due diligence. You don't even have to be cynical. Just connect the dots. Do the proper form. Do your research. Don't marry somebody without doing the background.
I've said before for years, Josh, I'm a simple guy. Mr. Hand questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how much, how many. Just start looking. Okay? And that's honestly, if you will follow that simple formula, you'll find yourself many more times way ahead of people than you ever thought before.
Yeah, two restaurant owners fighting each other. And I found out that the guy had been sued by two other guys he had been owners with throughout the years. Oh, that's an easy settlement for us. Well, not easy. You still have to prove evidence.
Relatively simple. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but do your research. It's amazing by doing the basics, not being lazy, how much money you can make in the richest country in the world. All right, make sure it's easy. George, Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill, he said, we make a living by what we earn, but we make a life by what we give. Thank you for watching the ESBC podcast. On the best.